Hey everyone, this is Josh, back with Cardboard Chronicles. Today I'm interviewing Rodman, a collector from Honduras who focuses on collecting Michael Jordan cards and also Hall of Fame autographs. As you can see, Rodman has a really sick collection, so he's going to show us all this, and he's going to talk about different things in the hobby that he enjoys, and also where he gets his passion for the hobby, specifically through the community and meeting all new people, and tell us about some trips to the National last year. It's going to be a really great interview. I'm excited. And once again, don't forget to check out howtocollectcards.com. We're still helping everybody become more successful in the hobby much quicker. So if you want to learn more about that, go to the website, howtocollectcards.com. We're still giving away the dictionary for free. We've got a lot of support so far. A lot of people are really excited about what we're offering. We've had a ton of people join. So I'm excited to speak with more of you and get you going on helping you guys out. So please check that out. Hey Rodman, what's up, man?
Hey Josh, thanks for having me.
I'm super excited to have you on, man. We've been planning this for like too long.
Like too long, yeah. Probably like 7 months.
Yeah. Well, we made it happen tonight. You messaged me last night. And you're like, hey, let's do it tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was the right time, so I'm ready.
All right. So why don't you start us off? Tell us about yourself and your background in the hobby.
Sure. Well, you know, like most of us, I started collecting when I was young. I was in school. I was maybe around second or third grade. That's when I basically started off. Like you guys, well, most of you guys know, I am from Honduras. And well, most of us ask me, like, how was the collecting days back in the days in the 90s? Well, we didn't have a local card shop, so we only had like two sources to get cards, right? One option was when our parents flew or took a flight to the US, or obviously if we made the flight, right? So that was one option. The second option, there was just one store in the city, and I would dare to say that was the only store in the whole country that brought packs, right? They had these boxes, and I used to go like every Saturday or so with my mom, because she used to do like grocery shopping right there. So I was along for the ride. I knew I was going to get some packs, and obviously looking forward to get some Jordans, right? So that's what got me started. I left the hobby, or I stopped collecting when I was, I think it was around 99 or something like that. Probably around when MJ retired the second time. My focus basically shifted towards other stuff. I was a teenager and all of that. For some reason, Jordan stepping away, kind of like the fire wasn't there anymore. And well, basically that's what made me like step away in college and everything like that. So I'm going to fast forward 2013. I received a call. I wasn't like looking for cards or anything like that. My mom called me. And she told me like, hey, I found these cards. I had like a year and a half since I had got married, so obviously I wasn't in the house. And she called me up and she was like, hey, I found these cards. What should I do with them? So I immediately took my car, drove home, and I was like, hey, where are they? And started going through them. My old binder. I mean, I have it still here. My old binder, my old cards, and it kind of clicked right away. And obviously, anyone that hasn't been in the hobby for such a long time, I think it was almost 14, 15 years, first question comes to mind, right? Are these cards worth anything? Like, that was like the first thing that came to mind. I was like, wow, I hope there's something that's worth something, right? So I came back, obviously, what's the first option, right? Internet, right? So I started searching. I started looking for keywords and looking, and I stumbled up on eBay. Big mistake, right? Because obviously, after that, I got hooked because obviously I started basically searching and seeing if I had anything valuable. Well, like most of us in the 90s, we collected early in the 90s and stopped in the mid late 90s. So most of my stuff was junk. It wasn't worth actually anything. I didn't have any major inserts. But anyhow, I mean, that's how I basically started again. But like, that's what got me into this. That was 2013. And I haven't stopped since then.
So you were into Jordan when you were younger, and obviously that's why you're still into Jordan stuff now.
Yes. Well, what got me into this, obviously it was basically because of Jordan. Obviously I wanted to pull a Jordan, and the main focus was getting a Jordan, right? I didn't care which Jordan, just pulling a Jordan. And back then, for me, it was just opening packs. That was like the only source. And obviously, when I used to travel, but I don't remember like physically going to a local store. My options back then were like Toys R Us or Walmart or anything like that. I mean, I never experienced, not even as a kid, like going in a local store. First local store, card shop that I basically visited, I think it was 2013. So, because I didn't have that in Honduras. So it was a new experience. I remember when I was in Orlando. I don't remember the name of the store, but the local card shop owner, I started talking with him, and I told him, hey, I'm from Honduras. I haven't done this in a while. Like, I'm trying to, I mean, learn more about this. And he started, like, teaching me, like, what was it, short print, what was it, insert and all that, and that we had autos nowadays, that we had patches. And then that's what basically I started reading and learning. I mean, because you have to put in that work, and I think Blowout had a lot to do with that. It helped me a lot, not only because there's really great threads on Blowout, but also because I got to meet other collectors and talk with them and basically ask the right questions, right?
So 2013 was a pretty good time to come in, I would think, right? The prices were pretty decent back then. What were you buying back then?
Back then, I was just picking up whatever I liked. I wasn't thinking about value. I wasn't thinking if this is going to go up or is this rare or anything like that. I was just like, I just went with the design. For me, that was it, right? So I started picking up inserts. You mentioned about the prices back then. Let me give you a little story. You know, back then, obviously, I started picking up MJs. I think it was around 2015. I had some financial issues that I had to work with. And I had to sell some of my Jordans, right? And at that time, I was not concerned about the prices at all, because basically back then, prices were flatlining, I mean, like forever. I mean, you could find an insert today at X price, and 6 months later, it was the same price. I mean, prices rarely shifted back then. So I would say you would feel comfortable, right? Because you didn't feel like your chances or your window to get this card might not be there 6 months from now. Back then, I mean, I didn't, or at least I didn't feel it that way. But I know from other collectors that they felt the same way. I mean, I remember even I did something so stupid. I mean, I even sold some Jordans to buy some Kevin Love cards. Because I mean, you get like too caught up with the fad, and like the new products were coming in, and you were trying to find like the new card that might be worth more later on, and like the focus was there. I mean, MGs were flatlining incredible. I mean, and I think it was 2016, 2017 when I started getting more serious with MJ, and that's when obviously the market started changing. But I guess I was lucky to, I got some cards right before prices basically reached the level that they're at right now.
Right. So why don't you give everyone kind of a taste of what you collect and what you're after? You mentioned inserts. What all you got? You got some stuff?
Yes, I have a ton of cards right here. I just wanted to give like a brief description of what I like to collect.
Awesome.
Obviously, like I said, I love Jordan. Like, that's like the main focus of my collection. But I love Hall of Famers. I respect the basketball history. And I love the 80s. I mean, I love Magic. I love Bird. Hakeem, Olajuwon. Jabbar. I mean, I just love every stage of not only the hobby, but obviously the NBA. So my collection is not only Jordan. I try to get some key pieces of what I would say history or NBA history, right? So that's what basically is my focus. And a couple years ago, I started a project. I haven't finished it. I think I've been procrastinating it because I could have finished it a long time ago, but it's basically the 50 greatest basketball players. The chase is getting an on-card auto of each of the 50, right? I'm right now, I think it's, I'm about like 48 out of 50. I'm only missing, I know. I'm only missing Barkley, I think, and I can't recall the other one. I think it's Carmelo or something like that. They're not tough to get. And not now, well, maybe like a year ago, a Barkley auto would get you a minimum of 1K. But now they're readily available in the market with Panini throwing in autos. So I'm going to stop talking now. I'm going to get to the cards. So
You set up
to show cards. So I got right here a John Havlicek auto. I wanted to pull this initially because obviously he passed away recently. So I wanted to show this piece. It's a PSA, incredible set. Really nice bald auto. Okay, so I'm going to show you another one. This is from the UD Legends, 1999 UD Legends set. Paul, I don't know if it's Arizin or, let me see, this is sideways.
Nice.
Another gem, BGS 10.
Those late 90s sets must have given you a lot of the autos because they had all the legends.
Exactly. These sets, most of them are there. So Bob Cousy from same year, different set.
Dude, their autos are all so amazing. We talked about this in my last interview. Like, those old guys can sign some autographs.
Yeah, definitely. This is not a certified auto, but there's basically no certified autos from Pete Maravich. So what you can get is an on-card or in-person auto and get it obviously authenticated or certified. So I think this is a 1972 set, if I'm not mistaken, or 69, I think. So
I was really
lucky with this card. Yeah. I saw the listing on eBay. I jumped in immediately. I literally threw out like a low ball offer and the guy took it. And I even asked him, I was like, well, why did you take my offer? And he told me he really needed money. And, so that, I mean, I was really lucky with that card. So let me show you a George Mikan. This is also a very rare auto of his. This has an inscription that says Mr. Basketball.
That's cool.
I know you're going to love this one. Wilt the Stilt.
Yeah. How much do you want?
I want cards, like I told you earlier.
That card is so nasty.
Following with the Hall of Famers and all that topic, I'm going to continue with more. I'm going to try to show these at the same time because Tristan, Logoman Shark on IG, he made a post with these three, right? So I already had Bird and Dr. J, so I had to get me the Magic and obviously do the trifecta. He got me hooked on this.
You got a lot of cool Magic and Bird stuff.
I do. I mean, I really like those two guys.
They're kind of undervalued in the hobby just because they have, you know, less to choose from than Jordan and LeBron and stuff.
Yes, and they sign a lot. I mean, even with Upper Deck and all of them, they signed a lot. And Panini got them to sign even much more cards. So I think that's not helping. But obviously, there's certain key cards from them that hold value and obviously are rare. So continuing with Exquisite, I'm going to show you Pippen Auto. I'm looking for the Rodman and the Jordan. This was something that I wished I would have done earlier because Jordan prices have skyrocketed. Lord of the Rings, Mr. Bill Russell.
We were talking about like our top five NBA players. I think we both had Bill pretty high up.
Yes, definitely. Because he was a winner and maybe not the most offensive or flashy player, but he had fundamentals. I mean, he reminds me of Tim Duncan because he's very, how would you say that? Undervalued or under, he was always appreciated. Yeah, that's right. And just because of his style of playing, right? Talking about Tim Duncan, let me show you this. It's numbered out of 6. Really nice auto. Okay, so you did mention Magic. I'm going to tell you a story. I think it was back in 2015. I was very active in Blowout. A fellow member, he showed a card. It was a duel by Magic and Bird. So I remember I created a thread and I asked the question, like, which is the best dual auto card of these two guys, right? So they started showing, obviously, a lot of cards. There was this one card, this particular card, that really caught my attention. It was the 2007, 2008 UD Chronology Duel. And I saw that they posted two cards. They showed the regular version out of 99, and they showed the gold version out of 10. And I was impressed. I mean, I was like, I really loved that set, and it got me hooked. So I got the 99 version right here, which most of the members in Blow Up that thought this was the best card, right? So this started a chase for the gold version, right? I mean, it stuck right in my head, and I wanted it so bad. And I there was a member on Blog. I would constantly text him, and I was like, "Hey, dude, I want your card. I want your card." He didn't give me a number, and he didn't want to sell it. Till this day, he still owns it, right? So it showed up on eBay, and I got outbid, and it hurt, right? Because I knew this card would not show up anytime soon. Almost 4 years passed. I had it on my saved searches. I would constantly look for it. It did. It finally showed up. And so it's right here. It's the gold version of the dual auto. I think this is a pop two, at most. So it's really rare because obviously it's only numbered out of 10 and it has only showed up twice in the past 5 years. So I'm really lucky to have this one.
I remember when I hit eBay, you messaged me like really, really panicked. You're like, what do I bid? Like 100,000? Like, calm down. Like, let's look at the prices. Let's. You're like, no, I'm bidding double. I don't care.
I was really ready to, I mean, overpay. I didn't care. I mean, because I wanted it so bad. I think it stayed, definitely stayed lower that you knew what which was my high bid, right? So luckily I didn't get shilled or anything like that. So
I think it's fun to have a card like that where you're like, no one else quite understands how, you know, why you love it as much as you do, but it doesn't matter. Like, you kind of help that person and
it's kind of just like
do whatever it takes.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the thing, probably because it's not readily available in the market, it doesn't get the exposure, right? I've been in Instagram for a long time, and I haven't seen that card on Instagram, right? I only knew about one other collector. I think he's in the UK or something like that. He loves chronology, and he had one. And I'm actually thankful. Nobody was willing to go any higher for this card. I know Kiki did on this card because when he found out that I had it, he told me that he was probably the second highest bidder. And well, we didn't even discuss it. So I was lucky he wasn't willing to go any higher than that.
You ready to start showing some Jordan cards?
Jordans, of course.
And any stories? Just give us the stories.
Just before I start with the Jordans, let me show you, because since we started with the chronology, I pulled two cards that I might show. Because, you know, I'm a junkie for chronology. I really love that set. So I'm going to show you two more cards. So this is the Kobe Bryant. This is the dunk contest version. This is out of 99. And this is also Timeless Memories. And this is from the dunk contest. Oh, from the Jordan.
That's the one you got at National, right?
Actually, no. The one I got at the National graded a VGS 9. And basically like a couple months after the National, I found the 9.5. So I had to sell that one and obviously do the upgrade. You know, I love BGS and I love BGS 9.5s. There's something about that gold label that, I don't know, just does it for me. So let's step into the Jordans, right? Okay, so last time I showed these inserts, but what the hell, I'm going to show them again. So we have the Jambalaya 9.5 as well. You know, it has to have a 9.5 to be in my collection, right?
Chris texted me before this. He's like, make sure Rodman shows the Jambalaya. I was like, don't worry, he will.
Molten Metal Fusion. This is numbered out of 250. I don't know if you see the Jordan in the back. Supposed to show, that's right there. I'll try to show the details in these cards because obviously they put a lot of effort into the design. This is basically my favorite Jordan, right?
Wow.
Out of all.
Wow.
My favorite, yeah. This is the Noise Boys. Another Heart to Gem card. This is the Platinum Portraits. I'll put my hand back there so you can see Jordan.
You and a couple other guys really made the 9.5 inserts popular, right? It really took off recently, but I feel like you were kind of ahead of that.
Thankfully. A cut above, 9.5. Can you see me?
Yep.
Okay, so for some reason I can't see you, but okay, so hot shots. Pins.
I love that one.
Take it to .net. Duncan, go nuts.
The silver version.
Actually, this is turning yellow, so hopefully in a
Oh.
couple years it's going to be the gold version.
Just gonna double the value just because of the humidity.
Exactly. So think this is my last insert that I have to show. This is the 97 98 Flair Legacy Michael Jordan.
BGS 10.
It's exactly BG. I mean, it's a pristine 10. This is up top one until recently. And there's no other legacy from Jordan that has had such a high grade. So I'm really lucky about this card. You know, when I bought this card, a lot of people asked me, like, you're a BGS9 collector. Why did you go with the pristine? Well, I did my research and I knew it was a pop one. And I also knew that it was the only 10 out of all the legacy cards. So I think that makes it more special. And that's one of the reasons that I went for it, right?
Plus, why would you? I mean, 10's better than 9.5, right?
Exactly.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit. What are your We've kind of seen what you got so far. What are your goals for the future? What are you after? What maybe not just like sp not maybe not just card wise, but like the community, the hobby itself. What are your goals?
Well, you know, this year, for me, I would say it's gone slower. Right? Because once you advance and you start getting all the cards that you want, it gets to like a point that the ones you want are not in the market, right? So you have to wait. I mean, you have to wait. And like you saw with the Bird and Magic, I mean, sometimes you don't. I might not be sure how much I have to wait because the ones that I want are not in the market. And when they are in the market, probably I might not be ready for them, to be honest. So I do my research. I try to get them off eBay. I try to obviously talk on a regular basis with the owners of these cards and see if I might be there at the right moment they're willing to sell. Because I've been there and I've been bugging some collectors, right? Like, hey, sell me this card, sell me this card. And they're like, no, I don't want to sell it. And then you ask 6 months later, and he's like, yeah, well, I decided to move it. And I'm like, wait, why didn't you? I mean, why didn't you let me know? I mean, and sometimes it's about timing because you're not gonna exactly remember who was. I mean, constantly emailing you or texting you on Blowout for a card because when you're ready, and most of the times when these guys are ready is because of two things, because the timing was right, or because it was the right offer. So I think most of the time you have to be lucky and obviously put in the right amount. And like I would tell you, I mean, most of the guys that own these cards, I've asked first. I've never put in an offer if they're not willing to sell. I mean, that's the first question you have to make. Like, are you willing to move this? If they say yes, you can put in an offer. If not, just keep, I mean, bugging someone else. I mean,
Have you tried doing the opposite where you just like, I've had it. It's only worked a couple of times, but I know that they're going to say no to this selling question, and I'll just make an offer that's like quite a bit over market. And they go, "Wait, did you just offer that? Like, maybe I guess if you're going to offer that."
No, I haven't. Actually, obviously, you try to tempt the other person or persuade them to sell, right? So, but what I have learned with this is that it's not about the number. I mean, most of the time, there's like, that's a great offer. I mean, if you're topping the last great offer that I had from someone else, but it's not about the money, right? It's just like, okay, if I sell this, what's next for him, right? Like, after they own this card and they let it go, they would have to have a next goal or maybe another card they want more. And that's the hard part. And that's why cards get, I mean, vaulted in banks or closets and like forever, and you don't see them that much, right? Because people get on with life, and some of them even stay away from the hobby or retire from the hobby and forget they even have these cards. And so that's why eventually we have to be patient, and hopefully we don't get shilled.
Well, that's what makes this hobby so unique and so fun is like stuff like that. People not willing to sell. It's kind of what makes the prices what they are, to be honest, because people actually want these items. These are highly sought after and they're not easy to obtain.
Yes, and that's even the hard part, right? Because when these cards are available, I mean, us collectors, we're ready to overpay. I mean, most of these cards that I showed, most of the MJ cards, I remember setting up new highs for them because I just wanted it, and I wasn't thinking about I'm overpaying or I'm paying top. I mean, higher value than the last one. I was just thinking, okay, this card is available. I'll get it. And I didn't care, right? Thankfully, it paid up, right? Because prices have gone up. But for me, it's not about that. I mean, it's not like I have a calculator. I'm constantly like, okay, now my collection is worth this much or anything like that. I mean, I'm glad I have them and I forget about the rest.
That's a great way to go about it, dude. That's probably the best way for sure. Well, with that, what's your opinions kind of on the state of the hobby currently, and then also where it's headed in the future?
Well, I think the hobby is in a great place. We're getting new exposure. I mean, like for example, what happened with Gary Vee interview and all that. I know that has brought a lot of mixed opinions. Some guys are not happy the way he only basically how do you say this?
Like the flipping side, he was only talking about the flipping.
He focused just on the gains or the money part of the hobby and didn't like emphasized on the other part, right? And I know that he being like someone that is an influencer and is out there like trying to show people how to make money, I think some that part kind of rubbed off the wrong way on some of the collectors. But I think any exposure is good exposure. Even a negative exposure is a good exposure. So I think the hobby is in a good place. Last year we were at the National. It was a great experience. I mean, I saw a lot of kids. I even took a great picture. I have it on my Instagram, and I was so impressed because you would see these, I don't know, maybe 10, 11, 12-year-olds holding Logo Mans and these really sick cards. I mean, when I was 12, I was happy pulling a Stadium Club Michael Jordan base card, man. For me, I mean, I was happy with my Stadium Club Michael Jordan base card. But I mean, the hobby has evolved. I mean, when I was collecting, when I was a kid, exquisite didn't even exist, right? I mean, autos were They came late in the 90s, so I didn't know anything about this. So having kids being 11, being 12, and having this really sick cards, I mean, that's got to be good for the hobby, right? Because they're young and they know which are the good cards. So that's good. I mean, and I think Panini brings a lot of discussion because most people or our generation doesn't like Panini. Obviously, the new generation, they're going to like it because obviously it's their generation. It's their rookie cards. It's their idols, right? So I think it's definitely in a good place. The market is there. Prices are rising. New attention, new people coming in the hobby all the time. I mean, I get DM'd a lot by people that basically sold their cards back in 2013 or 2014. They're coming back because they've heard of the boom and they're like coming back and realizing they shouldn't have sold their collections and obviously doing their best to try to get it back, right? So that's great. And I also get a lot of messages from people, especially after the green PMG. Obviously that brought a lot of focus to the MJ specifically to the insert market, right? So I got a lot of text messages from people that were basically coming in from baseball or hockey or football, and they just they shift their focus and they started to pick up on MJ inserts. So I think that's good in general, obviously. But I mean, I think the hobby is in a good place. So I'm really glad to be in this hobby. And obviously, I wanted to point something else out. I think it has evolved in a good way with social media being or playing a great role in this hobby, because now you can have a connection with another collector basically across the globe, right? I mean, Instagram, Facebook, I mean, they have done a really good job in basically creating this network where we know collectors, and maybe not personally, but we feel we know them because obviously they've been there for a while. They have good collections, and platforms like this one, like YouTube and all that, is like, it's basically putting a face to a collection, right? Back in the days when there was only Blowout, people or collectors would hide behind a username and a picture, right? No one was putting out the real names. No one was putting out their faces. So it's really cool to actually make a connection between a collection and a collector and making it more personal. And obviously, the National, I think that's like the best platform for that, right? Because that now it's in person, right? So that connection definitely trumps everything. And I think it goes beyond having actual cards and having that connection and that friendship and sharing that moment and that experience, takes it to a new level.
Now you lead straight into my next question perfectly. I got this really strong sense from you that you felt this way, especially about the community and the connection. I mean, the reason anyone joins a community, I was talking to a couple of collectors about this last week. The reason you join a community is to feel more connected to individuals that have similar beliefs or, you know, similar interests that you have. And I got a stronger sense of that from you, especially at National. Like, I'll just tell everyone the story. I was at National. This is my first time. And this show had kind of just gotten started. So a couple people recognized me or whatever. And then, I forget what table I was at, but you just started like talking to me about something. And then all of a sudden, like we were like friends within like 5 seconds and we were just walking around talking to MJ. It was like, it was just like this crazy, you know what I'm talking about? You just kind of like pick up on friends so quick in the hobby, just because like you have this immediate connection and bond over, you know, this simple thing that's cards, right? So it's, what is it about, what is it to you? That's a long statement, but the question is, why do you feel so strongly about that? And what is it about the community that kind of gives you that excitement? And what does it mean to you?
Well, remember that I live in Honduras, right? I have no local card shops. I basically, at this point, I don't have anyone in Honduras which I could share this hobby with, right? So Blowout at a certain time had a really big influence with me, because obviously that was like the only platform where I could share, right? I could share a mail day. I could ask questions. I could ask for advices. Now the national is different, right? That's like I said previously, that basically takes it to another level, right? Because now it's in person. And I think nothing trumps that, right? Because like we had our time at the national, and we even had more time after the national, having dinner and continuously sharing not only the hobby, but I mean, I think this passion is not only about cardboard, but it's about basketball. It's about the NBA, the history, and these players, and how much they had a big impact on our lives, on our childhoods. And till this day, I mean, I will never get bored watching MJ. I mean, I feel weird watching on YouTube or stuff like that. And my wife's next to me, and I'm like, she must think I'm crazy, because I'm constantly watching videos of MJ, and I'm like, or cards, I mean, or talking about cards. I mean, it's such a big part of your life, right? Because you're constantly thinking about the hobby, you're searching eBay, you're exchanging messages on Instagram or watching interviews. I mean, we have so much content now available, podcasts, YouTube videos, and all these platforms that I think it's such a great time for this hobby.
Yeah, well said, man. I think anyone watching that's been kind of like maybe nervous or unsure of who to reach out to and how to connect in the hobby, just, I think you kind of said it, just go for it, right? Just talk to people, just message them, go to national, meet people in person, and you'll be surprised about how like open and friendly everybody is, right?
Exactly. I mean, I'm really looking forward for this year, because obviously it would be my second year. And I remember Kiki, when he made his review on Blowout. I mean, I remember a part where he said each day was getting better, right? Because the first day or the first time meeting someone, like you said, it would just take minutes, right? But as the days were going by, it was getting, I mean, more intimate. You were feeling more comfortable. And I mean, it's such a great experience. Such a great experience.
So what days are you going to be there this year?
Well, hopefully I'll get there on, I think it's Wednesday, early morning. So I'll be there the first day in the afternoon. And hopefully I'll fly back on Sunday.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Did you get your VIP package yet? I just bought mine today.
No, I haven't. Probably I'll get it in the next couple of months.
If anyone's curious about National, I was talking to Justin, and he said, make sure you check out the VIP package, because it gets you in 30 minutes early. It covers all 5 days. It kind of gets you a couple extra little perks, and it's really not that much more money. So that's what I ended up buying. It's a nice deal.
Yeah, it's the one I got last year, so I'll probably pick up the same one.
Sweet. Any other burning topics that you wanted to touch on before we cut it?
Well, I'll try not extend too much on this topic. What I would just say is that for everyone, I mean, get your your info. I mean, try to study cards and not be emotional about purchases. With all this trimming and all that, I mean, for me, I mean, I don't take it, I take it as part of the hobby. I know it's, I mean, everything has, I would say, like a dark side. I mean, we're seeing nowadays, we're seeing a lot of custom cards that I really, really hate. I mean, I wish they weren't there. I mean, just learn more about fake cards, about trimming, about custom cards and all this, and just be cautious, right? And that's, I think that's the only way in which you would avoid getting burnt. I mean, just be positive about this. Share your experiences with other collectors and evolve. For me, it's evolving, right? What my collection is right now, it has evolved a lot. I mean, it's not like my initial focus brought me here. Trust me, my initial focus was totally different. But eventually you will evolve, and be constantly setting new goals and just enjoy the ride. That would be my recommendation and my best advice. Just enjoy the ride. Don't get stressed because someone else has a better collection or has, or their collection is worth thousands. I mean, just enjoy the ride, because it's not a competition. And if you get into that, you can get burned financially, or you can get into buying cards that you really don't like, and you're just buying them for likes or for appreciation. So just like this has been said in most of these podcasts interviews, just buy what you like. I mean, Tristan, he's behind that, right? Buy what you like. I mean, and not what is hype. So I think that's the best advice I could give. And just enjoy what you have and enjoy the experience.
Well, well said, dude. Well, you're one of the greats, Rodman. So glad to finally have you on. I know everyone's going to love this interview. You were great.
Thank you, man.
And I'll see you next time. I
got to do this interview, so hopefully we'll have a second one in a couple of years.
We'll have a follow-up for sure. I speak for both of us. I can't wait till National. We're going to have an awesome time. Anyone else that's going, find Rodman and I. We'll be hanging out, looking at cards. So find us there.
See you guys there. Take care, buddy.